Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Monday, April 15th, 2024, third week of Easter. And it's also, of course, many of us already know this, it's tax filing day. Of course, you can always apply for extensions. We'll have stories about that in the news. Hope you're having a great day today and enjoying, hopefully, spring weather in your area. I think you're going to enjoy the program coming up after the weather and the news and all that good stuff. My friend Kelly Walquist and fellow pilgrimage leader is going to be joining us. She is with Women in the New Evangelization. It's a wonderful ministry. And we're going to be talking about really two topics this morning. We're going to be starting out by talking about a beautiful trip that we're taking for our annual Wine and Shrine pilgrimage, a women's pilgrimage, which is coming up in the fall. But really what we're focusing on is the beauty of women coming together at events and sharing their hearts as sisters in Christ. And it is a special opportunity, and it doesn't happen all that often. I mean, we have beautiful ministries, of course. Women of Grace does a great job at this. I mean, they're just, I mean, bar none, amazing. But really, beyond Women of Grace and Wine, there's not too much out there in terms of ministries that are catering to the needs of Catholic women. I mean, there are Bible studies and book clubs, but I mean, these are unique ministries. And so Kelly and I are going to dive into all about Wine and also about our pilgrimage and some of the amazing things that have happened on our pilgrimages over the past 7 years. So that's coming up first. And then after that, we're going to talk about our brand new book, beautiful book. And we actually offered it as a gift last week during our Ave Maria membership drive. And it's called Wisdom from Women in Scripture. And Kelly edited the book. She also did a chapter. I think it was on Mary Magdalene. And I did a chapter on Queen Esther. And then we have Mary Healy, the amazing Dr. Mary Healy. And she did a chapter on Woman with the Alabaster Jar. We also have other contributors, including Alyssa Bormez. I think she does Rahab. It's a really great book. And what I love about it, it is the perfect size, ladies. You could stick it in your purse or your pocketbook, as my mother used to say. It's great to read maybe over lunch or just on a nice quiet afternoon, maybe with a cup of tea. It's also great, speaking of women's ministries, as we mentioned earlier, it's also great to incorporate that into a book study. And we have some videos associated with the book on the CatholicVineyard.com website, and Kelly will tell us all about that as well. So that's the first part of the show, and then we're going to be wrapping up on Monday morning with a beautiful effort by the amazing Order of Malta. They are just incredible, the people who volunteer their time through Malta. And there is a relatively new effort that they're doing during the summer months, and it's a camp. And we're going to be telling you all about that, and that will wrap us out for a Monday morning. Again, it is Monday, April 15th, and you are listening to EWTN. A ton of news, never a dull moment. Let's look at the weather, and then we'll see what's happening in and around the world. First, the weather for a Monday. Let's take a look and see what's happening across the country weather-wise. According to the National Weather Service, severe thunderstorms continuing to develop across the Upper Ohio Valley region into portions of the interior northeast through tonight. Damaging winds, though, they say, are the main threat, and the Weather Service is saying they're concerned about large hail and a few tornadoes also possible. A Pacific storm in the west continues to persist, producing mountain snow and some moderate to local heavy coastal valley rain. That's a look at the weather. Let's get started with the news on a Monday morning. The Biden administration says it's not looking for a wider war with Iran in the Middle East.
Whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby, speaking over the weekend on Meet the Press, saying the administration does not want to see the conflict between Iran and Israel escalate. This after Iran launched drones and missiles at Israel over the weekend. On Saturday, Israel says most of the drones, though, were intercepted. The chair of the House Intelligence Committee says the U.S. should not engage directly in military action against Iran. That's according to Representative Mike Turner. after Iran launched hundreds of drones, as you just heard, and missiles at Israel on Saturday, again, most of which were intercepted. The Ohio Republican criticizing the Biden administration, arguing the president has failed to box in Iran and warned of an escalating conflict in that region. He added he expects the House to vote on aid for Israel and Ukraine sometime this week. Ohio Senator, meanwhile, J.D. Vance is warning there's a real fear, though, of escalation in the Middle East.
I'm not going to pretend to counsel Israel on their strategic response to this. I think the most important thing for the United States here is to, one, prevent this from becoming a broader regional conflict because we're already stretched very thin, and two, to support our Israeli allies.
During an interview on State of the Union, Vance saying U.S. deterrence is so weak and the world sees that the U.S. is stretched very thin. Vance's comments come after the U.S. helped again Israel intercept drone and missile attacks launched by Iran over the weekend. The Ohio Republican adding the most important thing for the U.S. to do right now is to prevent a broader regional conflict. Pope Francis, meanwhile, making a heartfelt appeal on Sunday following the Regina Celli when he called for a stop for any actions that may fuel the spiral of violence in the Middle East that risk plunging the region into an even wider war. The Pope saying he is following with prayer and concern, even sorrow, the news arriving in recent hours over the weekend about the worsening situation in the Middle East. He added, it's in the people's best interest, their deep and legitimate desire, and it is their right for two neighboring states to have peace. In other news this morning, 40 million people from Ohio to Connecticut will be under threat of severe weather starting as early as this afternoon. After Sunday's system moves across the country, as you heard in the weather this morning, new storms will begin to form. Today, severe storm systems from Texas to North Dakota will be built up with excessive rain warnings. It will then move east and threaten damaging winds and flooding rains from southern Wisconsin to Louisiana. Six people are dead after a stabbing rampage in Australia. Correspondent Josh Lederman says the attack happening on Saturday afternoon at a very busy shopping center in Sydney, where a man with a knife was stabbing people.
Now, police say they don't exactly know what the motive was yet, but they do believe that this was a man who has known to law enforcement previously. They say that right now they don't see any connection to terrorism, but certainly this is a very scary incident for the people of Sydney, Australia.
A police spokesman says the five people died at the scene. Another died later at the hospital. Several others were hurt in the attack, including a child. The suspect was reportedly shot dead by the first police officer who arrived at the scene. And Chris Caraggio tells us O.J. Simpson's estate says it does not plan on paying his civil trial judgment back from 1997.
Although Simpson was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman in 1995, a civil court found him liable for the deaths 2 years later and ordered him to pay $33 million to the victims' families. Simpson avoided paying most of the money while he was alive, and now his legal team says they don't plan on paying the rest. Simpson's lawyers said, quote, "I will do everything in my capacity to try and ensure that the Goldmans get nothing."
Four people are in custody in the disappearance of two women in Oklahoma. Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly have been missing now for over 2 weeks after a vehicle they were traveling in was found abandoned in a rural part of Texas County. The four people have not been charged but are being held under suspicion of first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy to commit murder. Police say efforts continue to locate the two victims. Karen Curtis tells us cancer researchers at Florida International University have made a major breakthrough in treating cancer by thinking outside the box.
FIU cancer researcher Dr. Diana Azam conducted a clinical trial using genetic testing and AI to determine the efficacy of different drugs on tumor samples.
Some drugs, they may not be approved for a certain indication, but can be used to effectively treat another resistant tumor.
The new approach was successfully used for the first time on pediatric cancer patient Logan Jenner. His mom says her son had run out of options.
All I can say is I don't think my son would be here without this study.
Dr. Azam says the targeted treatment transforms cancer from a death sentence to a manageable chronic disease.
And people who eat quite a bit of seafood may be at a higher risk of exposure to so-called forever chemicals. A new study published last week in the journal Exposure and Health, testing several species in a New Hampshire seafood market, it found very high levels of toxic chemicals, especially in shrimp and lobster. The chemicals can come from several sources, including industrial discharge, firefighting foam, and various household products. And Deanna Kodak tells us inflation shows no sign of letting up, and new information shows which cities have been hardest hit.
Wallet Hub reports Honolulu, Miami, St. Louis, Seattle, Dallas, and the San Bernardino area in Southern California are dealing with inflation rates above the national average. The study notes that inflation is not confined to any one distinct area of the U.S. This week, the Labor Department showed inflation rising for the third straight month to 3.5% in March.
Stargazers in the Northern Hemisphere will soon catch a glimpse of one of the oldest known meteor showers. The Lyrids meteor shower, which has been viewed by humans annually for 2,700 years, begins tonight and lasts until the end of the month, April 29th. If skies are clear, you should be able to spot up to a dozen or more meteors per hour during the shower's peak, which is April 22nd. And finally, in our news segment on a Monday, Jim Forbes has the numbers regarding customers who are harder to please since COVID.
That's according to recent Gallup polling, which found that customers had grown accustomed to curbside pickup, at-home delivery, remote appointments, and other conveniences that were adopted during the pandemic. Shoppers are also frustrated with high prices. 43% of workers said customers are more demanding since the start of the pandemic, and 28% said customers have greater expectations for remote or virtual services. I'm Jim Forbes.
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
With so much going on in the world, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. What do you need to know today? Stay tuned to Cresta in the Afternoon and Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo as we bring you the day's top stories and conversations from an authentic Catholic perspective.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I hope you're having a beautiful Monday morning. Great to be with you on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we are everywhere, including right now in the beautiful state of Minnesota, where my friend and very, very, gosh, close colleague in so many ways, Kelly Walquist, the foundress of Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. The website is CatholicVineyard.com. She's also heading up the Catechetical Institute in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. She's a speaker. She's an author. She's just all around wonderful. I think so. And we're going to talk about two subjects today. First, we have our Wine and Shrine. Wine, as we just mentioned, an acronym for Women in the New Evangelization. Every year we do a wine and shrine tour, and the reason we wanted to let you know about it today is because we have a special sale, and Kelly will tell you that T never met a sale she didn't like, so will a lot of other people. But anyway, we do have a great discount being offered if you register by the end of today, catholicvineyard.com or on the Ave Maria Radio travel page for all the details. And then the second part of the program, we have to revisit the beautiful book that Kelly edited, and I'm so proud to be a part of it, Wisdom from Women in Scripture. And also in this wonderful book, the one and the only Mary Healy, Alyssa Bormez, Melissa Overmeyer, and Elizabeth M. Kelly. So what a great honor it was to be a part of this beautiful book from Word Among Us. So, Kel, here we are again, and we are looking at October for another Wine and Shrine. Good morning.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to be back in Italy. And I like that we have these two things we're talking about this morning, the Wine and Shrine, and then also Wisdom from Women in Scripture, because there's a little thread of Italy that runs through it that we'll talk about later when we talk about Wisdom from Women in Scripture.
Of course.
I am so excited to be back back in Italy for the Wine and Shrine Women's Pilgrimage on October 8th through the 17th. Mm-hmm. And it is such a fabulous, fabulous pilgrimage. And I know you and I say this all the time, but when we put this together, and I think we started putting it together, I want to say 7 years ago, we knew it was going to be good. We just knew, you know, because we've done a lot of different women's retreats and conferences and talks and events and book clubs through wine. And we know that wine has this beautiful charism of charity. So wine, for those who don't know, is women in the new evangelization. So it's not about the wine we drink, though we will tell you in Italy, we do let you taste a little wine.
Little bit,
we might
just
have
a little
wine.
Bit.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. In moderation, really, of course. Yes.
Absolutely. But it does stand, you know, it really is scriptural. And wine, that acronym is so beautiful. But it really brings us back to John chapter 2, verse 5. It brings us to the wedding of Cana, where Mary says to us her final words in sacred scripture, do whatever he tells you. So it really is about doing the will of God. We just contend as women, we're radically relational, and as such, it's easier to do God's will when you're surrounded by your sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we come to a pilgrimage, I mean, when you think about this, our life is a pilgrimage, right? We are on pilgrimage this life, from blessing to blessing, from the moment we're conceived in the heart of the Father to God willing, we're back in that beatific vision, back in the Trinity, that unity of love. We're on this journey. And we need our sisters.
Right.
And so when we put together this pilgrimage, I don't think we were thinking even of that, but we recognize when we're in it, oh my goodness, we need our sisters ever more on pilgrimage when we step aside to go to a sacred destination that allows us to encounter God in this new and palpable way. And I know, you know, you and I say it all the time that we are just amazed by the beauty and the growth and the relationships and the healing that takes place on these pilgrimages.
Yeah.
I think it's something very unique to Wine and Shrine with these women.
Yeah. I do too, and I think it's a combination of things. I think because when women are around other women, I think in that kind of a setting, and when God is so present and we have prayer every day and Mass every day, and there's an opportunity for confession with our wonderful spiritual director again this year, Father Klockman, it's just there's something powerful, not to mention the fact that we're going into all these beautiful churches and the saints that show up. And this year we're so excited because they're going to be in northern Italy. Let's talk about the itinerary, flying into Milan, getting a tour of Milan. So we're going to be having a beautiful but brief encounter with St. Augustine and St. Ambrose because they're going to be going into the Duomo and learning a little bit about that. And then we're going to be staying up on Lake Como first, and then we're going to be going to Lake Garda, which you've never been to. You've never been to Lake Garda, so I'm really excited to take you there. Yeah, and you've been to Lake Como, but you've never stayed. Well, we stayed on Lake Como once, but this is going to be a little bit different in terms of what we're doing there in Lake Como. And then we're going over to Padua for St. Anthony and then to Venezia for Venice. But we're stopping along the way before we get over to Salo to St. Anthony and then go to Venice for St. Mark and the other wonderful churches there. We are going to be stopping in Lombardy for St. Francis Cabrini.
I love that. And it's so Holy Spirit how that all came together.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
And it was a Holy Spirit moment, just with the two of us and then with Frances Cabrini. I think she's just surrounding us. There's no doubt. And that's another good thing to talk about is there's such a beauty in the saints that we're seeing, because we are wanting to build relationships, right, with these women, mm-hmm. with each other, but then also we want them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. But we also want them to have these relationships with their brothers and sisters, the saints, you know, the ones that have been there, done that, and they've right. run the good race, and they've done it correctly. And they had their struggles. When you watch the movie Cabrini, you see the struggles she's gone through and what she's done, but she's done it with the Lord, you know, and always trusting and surrendering to Christ and to be able to do this. And so I think that's another really good point, that when we're at these different places, we really come in contact with those saints. And one thing I love about our pilgrimages is the teaching. Mm-hmm. And we put a lot into our teaching, you know, on our bus rides and the teaching that the pilgrims get. And it's a variety, but it's so good. It's a teaching on Ambrose. It's a teaching about why we say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Mm-hmm. You know, it ties stuff in like that. It's a teaching about Cabrini, and Father Klockman always teaching on the bus too. So it really gives one of those characteristics that is of wine, which is learning the aha moments of the faith. Because I think we see that so many times on our pilgrimage where people are like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, yep. mm-hmm. It's so fun when you discover something because you're so willing then to go share it. So I think that is a really unique aspect of the Wine and Shrine Women's Pilgrimage, is that we have these fun, entertaining, but really deep theological teachings. You know, just kind of we weave them throughout the bus ride or on the site. Our guides are the best.
Right.
They're just the best, you know. And so it's such an anointed, I will say that, I think it's a really anointed pilgrimage.
Well, I don't know too many other international pilgrimages, Cal, that are all women. I mean, there's all kinds of great, you know, wonderful folks, and we've got our La Dolce Fide with me and Deacon Dom coming up shortly after ours, which is, you know, anyone can come on that one, which is awesome. But I don't know if there's too many totally female pilgrimages
that I've heard of. Something, right, and there's something very, very special about that. Mm-hmm. And we watch it all the time, and what I love to see is everybody comes with baggage. We do come with baggage. I mean, we give great packing tips, right? So we tell you how to pack your physical bag, but we all do have this baggage we bring with us. And we have seen people carrying the heaviest of bags, mm-hmm. the heaviest. I think this last one, we really witnessed it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
what we witnessed instantly is the women, I'm tearing up right now, is the women from around the country. You know, you meet your fellow pilgrims on the bus. We were on our first, you know, 1 hour drive. We stop, get something to eat, and they've got this network of sisters that are surrounding them. So within hours, and then we watch it within days, this heavy baggage, you've got these beautiful women that you've never met. They're from Texas, they're from California, they're from Florida, they're from Michigan, Minnesota, Connecticut, and they're helping you lift your baggage. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you and I have sat in awe, you know, watching someone come in that we know is hurting. And then 3 days later, we're, you know, we happen to be down having lunch or something. And we see that woman ministering to another woman who's hurting. And we're just mm-hmm. like, oh my goodness, Lord. And then I think another thing about that, though, because there is so much healing goes on. And I always use this quote of explaining Wine and Shrine pilgrimage with us, and it's from Dolly Parton, and you know it well, mm-hmm. From Steel Magnolias, but it's laughter through tears is my favorite emotion.
Yep.
Because there's so much healing that goes on in this pilgrimage. There's so much joy.
Joy.
I mean,
and laughter.
Oh
my gosh. And how about a couple of years ago with wonderful Suzanne from Texas, who is a regular listener and has been with us, I think probably 3 or 4 times now on Wine. But remember when beautiful Bernice came and she had just lost her nephew in a very dramatic car accident and she wasn't going to come, and her brother and sister-in-law said, no, please go and pray for us in each church and light a candle. And she said when she came on that pilgrimage, she was just going to be in prayer. She was going to kind of just, you know, huddle up in not necessarily a corner, but just like she didn't feel that she was able to open up. But then you have Suzanne, who's like larger than life and full of so much love, and embraced her. And before you knew it, she was joyful. And she said at the end of the trip, I can't believe how much this helped me start healing for my nephew's sudden death. So things like that happen
all the time. And if you just open yourself up to your fellow sisters in Christ in the presence of the saints in these amazing churches with the beauty all over the place, it's just, well, it's just too much to even describe in 15 minutes, which we have to wrap up because we're going to the break. Okay, so CatholicVineyard.com to register. We have the discount that will expire later today. It's $250 per person, so it's a pretty big deal. But in order to take advantage of that, please go to CatholicVineyard.com or my website, TeresaTomeo.com. It's also on the Ave Maria Radio travel page as well. We are doing Wine and Trine in beautiful northern Italy. Many saints we're going to meet, including St. Francis Cabrini and St. Anthony of Padua. More with Kelly Wahlquist. Speaking of Italy, we're going to talk a little bit about the connection with Italy and our book, Wisdom from Women in Scripture. From Word Among Us, a beautiful book edited by our guest, but also many contributors, including myself and the wonderful Dr. Mary Healy and more. We'll be right back on a Monday morning with Kelly Wahlquist, CatholicVineyard.com for wine, Women in the New Evangelization. We'll be right back.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body he dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink, as he did with the apostles, to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose, as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Appreciate Kelly getting up an hour early in Minnesota to talk to us this morning. Really appreciate it. She's a catechetical, head of the Catechetical Institute for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and she's also the foundress of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, as we mentioned. The website is CatholicVineyard.com. She's an author, a speaker, and we're so proud because Kelly just edited this beautiful book published by Word Among Us, Wisdom from Women in Scripture, with many contributors, including Kelly, myself, Dr. Mary Healy, Alyssa Bormez, Melissa Overmeyer, Elizabeth Kelly. It's a beautiful book, and it's so easy to just put in your purse, or as my mother would say, my pocketbook, right? My bag, you know? Seriously, it's very packageable. You could take it on a pilgrimage, and we were talking about our pilgrimage before, our Wine and Trine pilgrimage, but it really came out just so lovely, Kel, really did.
Absolutely amazing. It is absolutely amazing, and it is the essence of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, and that is elevating women in their giftedness. And when I look at all of these authors, yourself, Elizabeth Kelly, Mary Healy, Melissa Overmeyer, Elizabeth Mormes, and I wrote one of the chapters, but every single woman is in her gift, is sharing her heart, and she's sharing a woman in Scripture and the story about that woman in Scripture. So you come to know one of the women in the Bible, as well as the author, and you grow deeper in your knowledge of sacred Scripture. It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, we did this for Lent 2024. We had it for one of our wine book clubs. So we did it online in what we call our virtual vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
So wine had a virtual vineyard long before COVID hit. And then everybody was in our
virtual
vineyard.
You did. That's right. You did. You did.
We're like, what are you doing in our vineyard? No, we love it. Come on. Come learn. But so we did it online. So we had book clubs all around the country. So they were doing it. You know, we've got the book and we've got a journal that goes with it, a journal and study guide. And then we did a webinar. And we had a couple hundred people doing it. And we've done these before. We do them a lot. Obviously, we've been doing this now almost 10 years. And this one was so powerful. This was one where we got done, and I would talk to Alyssa Bormes, who was usually my co-host, or the author who was on that week. We'd get on the phone right afterwards, and we'd just be in awe. And then I would get email after email after email of how this really touched women. And like you said, when you said you can throw it in your pocketbook, it's a light. It's a small read. It's not a big, mm-hmm. thick, mm-hmm. overwhelming read. So when you take it week by week, I mean, there's a lot to dive into, but it's super simple to do, you know, but you're going deep into the faith, but in a beautiful way that's very easy. It's probably my favorite one. You know, I mean, I've got so many, everyone's my favorite one, you know,
right.
Like your kids. They're all my favorite, you know, but for Lent, this was such a powerful experience for so many.
I just think it's a very, I have it here right in my hands, it's a very peaceful book. I feel like when you look at it and when you go through the pages, it just is very comforting to me.
It is, and our little tie-in with Scripture, or I mean with Scripture, with Italy, and we spoke about in the last segment, is the front page mm-hmm. is a little Hamlet in Italy that I took I snapped a picture of when I was with you
right.
and was running. I was out on my morning run, and that is the picture I took. I wish I could say that was me, but no, that's not me in the front. I had my hair in a ponytail and a baseball cap on. It did look so good on the front of it. It would have been pretty on the front of the cover, but it is. It's just, it's you're looking at this old little Hamlet, right? So it's the wisdom mm-hmm. for women in Scripture. So it's like you're looking back to the wisdom of today, to grow
right.
and I think it just really encompasses what the book brings out. And I love that each woman tells her story. You know, like Mary Healy starts us off, and she's the woman with the alabaster jar,
mm-hmm.
and hers is a simple gesture of love, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And so when we did the webinar, what we did is then we had Mary on. She did a little video for us. And what she did, each author took it a little different. What she did is instead of, you know, kind of retelling her story, she told us how her story came to be. And it was, mm-hmm. like, fascinating. You know, so everyone did something different. I did the woman at the well, and I love her. And she's a saint that I've become very acquainted with, and not many people know her name. But her name is Saint Plotina, means enlightened one.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, I mean, that's what we want to do, right? As women in the new evangelization, we want to have this encounter with God, with Jesus, to be enlightened and to just radiate that joy and go and share the good news, to evangelize. And so working with her, it was entrusted to Trust by Melissa Obermeyer, who's an incredible, incredible, you know, biblical teacher. And then we had Rahab, which is the fall of the walls. And Alyssa mm-hmm. Bormes talks about what are those walls of Jericho that you built up in your heart. And it's,
such a good chapter.
There were a lot of tears.
Yeah.
There were tears. There were tears with that one. And then Dressing for Success, of course, you and Queen Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually just finished editing that webinar, so we put it up on our website so people who are doing our book club can now enjoy the webinars. And I loved that one. We had such a good time with that one, but it really brought us deep into how do we prepare ourselves for what we're doing,
right?
In ministry or in anything, in your vocation. And then Grace for Heavenly Collaboration, which is Mary and the Annunciation, which is Liz Kelly. And she is absolutely profound. And as she spoke, she was just finishing all her chemo. You know, so there she is with barely any hair. And she's like, my hair isn't, you know, it's not working with me today, but that's my life. So here we go. And just, it was just, I mean, they just bring you right into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, because it was so good, is we added it to our book club Bible study on our website. So I know listeners to Ave Maria Radio during the pledge drive were able to get the books. I want to say if you got
it. We gave it away last week as one of our gifts, for donors,
I love it. So if you have the book, you can go to CatholicVineyard.com and you can get the study guide, journal, and the prayer card that go with it. And then for free as a resource, we have those 7 videos and that contain everything. And then a leader's guide that brings you through exactly how to do it, because with wine, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We're too busy. Let's just have it done. And then one thing that's unique to this is we made a Spotify playlist that goes with each chapter. Many women from wine, just their difference, like Kitty Cleveland, Amanda Vernon, Liz Kelly herself, it was just, we have all these phenomenal singers. So even in the webinar, we take a moment in each week, there's a different song. And it all
that is so
with
cool.
Marie Miller.
Wow.
Yeah, and it began with Marie Miller because she dropped her song called Woman, and I heard it, and it starts with, went to the well at the middle of the day. And I was like, oh, and it's Woman, don't you know your worth? And I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, I just had chills. And then I thought, why don't we just get a song for everyone? So the very first song is the Marie Miller and
Sarah Kroger. She's fabulous.
Sarah Kroger, she's amazing. There's one more Sarah. It's Marie and Marie Miller and Sarah. I said, it's kind of like Tony Orlando and Dawn. And they thought, nobody's going to know that reference.
Listen, we only have about 30 seconds left. So I just want to remind folks two things. The book, also available at CatholicVineyard.com. All the information on the pilgrimage, which we discussed with Kelly earlier in the first segment. Again, CatholicVineyard.com. Don't forget the sale that ends today. Check it out. We're going to Northern Italy, Lake Como, Lake Garda, Venezia, Lombardy, Milano. It's going to be incredible. Padua for St. Anthony. Hope you can join us in October. And please get a copy of the book, Wisdom from Women in Scripture. My guest has been wine foundress Kelly Wahlquist, Women in the New Evangelization. We'll be right back on a Monday. Stay tuned.
And now, the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me, our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens, and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
He's not on drugs. Parents will come into my office and describe a litany of trouble about this long. Then they'll say this, I'm giving you the wrong impression. Overall, he's a pretty good kid. How so? Well, he's not on drugs or anything like that. One of the new moral high bars out there, he's not on drugs. You want to raise a child not with the absence of pathology, but with the presence of virtue. She's miserable with me, but she treats everybody else great. Again, not the absence of bad behavior, but the presence of good behavior. He's not on drugs? It's a rationale. It may provide some comfort. It's not a path to virtue.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Thanks for tuning in. It is a joy and honor to speak with Mary Delaney, and she is with the camp planning team for the Malta Camp USA. Mary, thanks for joining us. So tell us, give us some background, first of all, on the camp. Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here, Teresa. So Malta Camp USA is a week-long summer camp for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities aimed at building lifelong community. So one thing a lot of people don't realize is that people with disabilities receive services through school systems and things like that until they turn 22, and then everything kind of shuts off. And so, you know, that population had a place to go every day. They had access to peers their own age, both typical and with disabilities. And, you know, they lose access to that. And so we're really focused on serving that population, building community, and recognizing that those are people who still experience a lot of the same challenges, and maybe more so as their parents get older and may not be able to care for them. And so, you know, it's a week at summer camp, but it's virtual reunions, it's phone calls, it's texts, it's really, you know, building friendships.
So then it keeps up after the actual camp, then there is that continued connection, correct?
Exactly, yeah. So there are events year-round. We just had a Easter party like a week ago. And yeah, there's letters, phone calls, texts, and our kind of priority as we think about campers who come back every year is we make sure that the people who come before can continue to come, and then we grow from there so that it really can build, you know, a lifelong community.
Malta is so incredible with meeting so many different needs. I was telling you during the break, my husband has been in the A Knight in the Order of Malta for years, and it's just beautiful. We have so many activities in our area here in southeastern Michigan, involved in so many different types of clinics and different efforts. This is unique, though, I think, for Malta, is it not, this particular camp?
It is here in the U.S. So the Order of Malta has run a camp for about 40 years in Europe focused on individuals with disabilities, and for years the U.S. sent a pretty small contingent. But, you know, it's really expensive to go to Europe, and a lot of people with different types of disabilities might struggle on a really long transatlantic flight. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a couple years ago, we launched Malta Camp USA here to make the program more accessible and bigger, and we've been growing really fast.
So when you actually have the camp, because people do attend a camp-like setting, right, or a group setting, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
So how do you decide where that is going to be? Do the locations change, or is there one location?
So we host our camp on a Catholic college campus. Our, you know, vision for the program or intent is that the locations will change and we'll move around the country. We recognize that a lot of people have honestly never spent a night away from home. And, you know, the idea of spending a night an hour away from home is a lot easier than spending the night a plane ride away from home. So our hope is that as we move the program, we can both give people new experiences and also make the program accessible to people in different communities. This summer and for the last few years, we've been hosted at Siena College in Albany, New York. But we are hoping to move in the next year or two to a new campus.
So what type of activities, Mary, and by the way, if you're just joining us on a Monday morning, we're chatting with Mary Delaney, the head of the planning team for the beautiful Malta Camp USA. We'll give you the website as well. What type of activities are involved with the camp for those participating?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a summer camp. We try and do lots of activities to give people different and new experiences, especially recognizing that many of our guests with disabilities live at home with their parents. You know, the things that a 20 or 30 year old wants to do might not be the same things that their 60 year old parents want to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did a ropes course last year. We went whitewater rafting. We go bowling. We do arts and crafts. We have movie nights and sing-alongs. A few years ago, we were really blessed to have the New York City Ballet come up and do a dance class with us. So we try to cater to different types of, interests and activities give people experiences that they otherwise might not be able to have.
So you're on the camp planning team, but who is involved in terms of the committee and the actual hands-on experience? How do you go about getting people to help you with the camp? Because I imagine it takes a lot of work and organization like any other camp does.
Quite a bit, yeah. So I'm the director of Malta Camp, and I am very blessed to have a 20 or so person team of former camp volunteers and other people who helped me put this incredible event together. And then, you know, we just all reach out through the networks that we have to try and find volunteers to help us at camp. We are still looking for volunteers for this summer. We're mostly focused on people in the 18 to 40-ish age group. We really want to build a community of peers for people with disabilities, and so, you know, want people in that age group. And then we've got a handful of staff who are older, and then everything is kind of overseen by a board that is mostly made up of Order of Malta members.
So in terms of those who are volunteering, how would they find out about the camp? What's the website?
Our website is maltacampusa.org. And there's an application online right there. And also if people, you know, have questions or want to learn more, they can contact us at info@maltacampusa.org.
So what if someone listening this morning, and it's very possible because we're heard around the country and around the world, says, gosh, I would love to do this, but I don't have any background or training in working with people in that type of a setting. What would they be able to do? Would they still be able to maybe just look into this?
Absolutely, yes. So we have both a wide range of people with disabilities and a wide range of volunteer roles. So depending on what people are interested in and the skill sets they have, we've got some people who help us with our kind of logistics and operational staff who might help to run events, serve meals, things like that, who, you know, absolutely don't need any background. And then, you know, recognizing that we've got a wide range of guest abilities. You know, we've got some people who are special ed teachers and they're volunteers and they can, you know, take on some of our guests with higher needs. And then we've got, you know, others who have lower needs. And so it's a great way to kind of get introduced to this population. And, you know, it's a week so full of just joy and love. And so, you know, it's a great way to get involved, even if you don't have experience and learn a little bit more.
I'm sure you have testimonies of people who so appreciate the camp. Can you share some of the comments or what you've heard over the years, Mary, about those who are participating and also those of loved ones who participated?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we have just absolutely incredible testimonies. We have a young woman who's come to our camp for a few years, and she was giving a reflection last year, and she talked about how camp is the family that chose her. You know, she said, I have all these disabilities and my family's wonderful and they love me, but, you know, they didn't choose to have a kid who has all of these needs. And she said, I've never been the person who's chosen, the person that other people want in their life. I'm there and people are fine with me being there. They're happy. But she said, here, I feel like I can do anything. It's the favorite, you know, my favorite week of the year. You know, and I feel like you chose me and you want me to be here. Yeah, some of our guests aren't, you know, super able to communicate their thoughts verbally. But, you know, we had another camper this past summer whose mom emailed us and said, you know, he's gone to a couple summer camps before. He's gotten kicked out of every program he's ever gone to. And, you know, she said we cried happy tears when we saw that he was accepted to camp because, you know, it's a thing that most families get to experience, and he really never has. And she started out her email and said, you know, they made a lot of movies about superheroes, but none compared to the superheroes of Malta Camp. So, you
that
know,
must make you just get all choked up. I'm getting choked up just hearing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm still getting, like, medical forms and things like that. And I opened one yesterday, and it said, you know, Dear Mary, our angel on earth, and I don't know. It's so wonderful to see how appreciated this program is. And at the same time, you know, I just wish that we could be bigger and take more people because the need for it is so, so clear.
Could you, and I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, could you do multiple camps at a time, or do you just prefer to do the one and have more people come?
In the longer term, we absolutely could, and I would love that. We, you know, need more money, need more volunteers.
Right.
But, you know, we're youngish, we're growing, and, you know, I think absolutely I would love this to be a program that is accessible to people all across the country. And, you know, this year we do have some people traveling to Albany from California, from Florida, from far away. But, you know, I recognize that some of our people, for example, who come from the Albany area would have a tougher time, you know, with a cross-country flight, much the same way you would with the transatlantic mm-hmm. flight. And so yeah. To make the program more accessible long-term, I would love to see that if we can get the resources to pull it off.
So, Mary, what led you to do this type of work?
So I've been involved with the Order of Malta for a number of years. And when this program launched, I, you know, happily signed up to volunteer. Honestly, having not worked a lot with people with disabilities before, but, you know, just kind of eager to help out. And after volunteering my first year, I just, you know, fell in love with it. And over time, the previous organizers didn't have the capacity to run it. And, you know, while I don't have a lot of experience with people with disabilities, I do have a lot of experience building and growing kind of nonprofit and volunteer organizations. And so the stars kind of aligned for me to take on a leadership role. And I, you know, never looked back. It's been absolutely amazing. And I'm so, so grateful to be in the position that I'm in.
Well, it sounds like the folks are grateful that you're there, too. So before we let you go, if people are not familiar with the Order of Malta, please just give us a little background about it real quickly.
Absolutely. The Order of Malta is the oldest lay Catholic organization in the world. It's about 900 years old, and it is a worldwide organization whose charism is witness to the faith and service to the sick and the poor. And so, you know, it's really about kind of living out your faith by helping others. So it's a really cool opportunity to kind of be part of a faith-based community, to get involved in service, and to build this kind of global community and network. And I've been really grateful to be involved for, you know, the last 10 plus years.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful order. It's just that you guys do such great work, seriously, all across the country and around the world. Mary, thank you. Thank you for giving your gifts in this way and allowing God to use you in such a beautiful way. Give us a website one more time for the camp if people are interested.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. The website for the camp is maltacampusa.org. That's MaltaCampUSA.org. And yeah, if you're interested in volunteering or anything else, we would be so, so thrilled.
Well, Mary, thank you. God bless you. Keep in touch. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear about the continued progress of the Malta camp. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so nice being here.
And we'll be right back on Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heartsick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live Truth. Live Catholic.
The Encounter Conference, June 26th through the 28th at the New Glass City Center in Toledo, Ohio. 15 powerful speakers.
It is the encounter with the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus come alive and gives us the courage and the wisdom to go forth and to even risk our own lives.
Everyone pretty much says the miracles that Jesus did are real. The miracles that the early church did are real.
As often as the popes are talking about the new evangelization, they're also saying we need to pray for a new Pentecost. We need to return to the upper room. Encounter represents the church returning to the upper room. As we're coming boldly before God and asking Him to renew that Pentecostal fire for the strength, the gifts, and the wisdom to be able to preach Jesus to a lost and broken world so that we can become fully alive in Him, so that the world may come to believe that Jesus is the one whom God sent.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I hope you know how much we appreciate your listenership here at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, as well as the Ave Maria Radio Network. And we always say we are all about the resources. So just remember, anything you hear daily on this show, you can check out. You can go to, for example, the EWTN Religious Catalog through EWTN.com. You may also go to the archive section of Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. And all the resources are there for you. This is also a great way, by the way, to witness. Sometimes if you're challenged by a friend or a loved one on a particular topic and you hear us talking about an issue, right, that has come up, especially, right, over the holidays or a special occasion, you can go to or tell your friend or family member with whom you're discussing something to go to one of these sites and to listen to a program, or you can send them to the link to the program and they could hear it for themselves. That's why we call Catholic Radio part of being a member of the Shy Evangelist family, right? Because we do the evangelization for you and you can pass it on. We'll talk to you in the next edition of Catholic Connection. Thanks again for listening.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.